I'm with John Reese from Shell Oil, and you deal a lot with the biofuels that Shell mixes into its blends. You talked here at the conference, and you talked about some of the issues and some of the challenges, especially as an oil company, that you face trying to get biofuels into your system. Tell us a little bit about that. What are some of the issues that I guess oil companies face trying to bridge this gap with some of the biofuel providers?
Sure. So we're approaching the blend wall. We are really maxing out on the ability to blend ethanol into gasoline. Most vehicles and the retail infrastructure are only compatible with 10% ethanol blends. EPA did approve the use of E15 for 2001 in newer vehicles, but the issue with that is that the automobile manufacturers don't support that and do not say that the E15 would be compatible with those 2001 and newer cars. It's our view that E15 is only compatible with those cars designed to use it. In other words, flexible fuel vehicles, and then the vehicles starting in 2013 by a couple of the companies are going to start making vehicles compatible with E15. So those would be compatible going forward. But the issue is, not going forward, it's looking back from 2001 until now. And so our view is that E15 would only be compatible with approximately 5% of vehicles on the road. That's basically the flexible fuel vehicles. And another part of this that folks don't often understand is that the retail infrastructure is also typically not compatible with higher than 10% blends either. And so there'd be very large investments at the retail level to make that equipment compatible. And that's tanks, pipes, dispensers. And it all has to be certified as compatible under all kinds of existing laws. And 97% of all retail stations are independently owned and operated. 60% of those are sole proprietors. So these are really large investments for in many cases, small businesses.
Well, a lot of the ethanol makers and the ethanol groups make the argument that E15 is compatible. They just can't get these automobile manufacturers to sign off on that. I mean, for lack of a better phrase, does that give you guys cover to not up the blends? I mean, who's right then? I mean, are the manufacturers correct, or are the folks who make the fuel correct?
Well, the manufacturers of the vehicles are correct. They don't support the use of E15 in higher levels. Going forward, they could. But the issue is the existing cars on the road, 2001 until now. And then also there's the CRC test where, you know, the automobile manufacturers were involved in that testing as well. And those tests indicate that the E15 could damage even 2001 and newer vehicles. So, you know, it's Shell's view that E15 is not compatible with really any more than 5% of vehicles on the road, which are, you know, the vehicles that are designed to use it.
Would that change if there was a change from the government saying, okay, all vehicles need to be at least E15 or E20 or E25, whatever blend compatible?
This problem can be solved prospectively. If you look out far enough, vehicles, well, they've been making flexible fuel vehicles for years, right? And you could make vehicles compatible with higher level of blends. And over a certain period of time after you did that, you could get enough penetration in the market of those vehicles where there would, you know, be a significant volume of those vehicles. So, but the issue around E15 isn't the prospective issue, it's the retroactive compatibility issue.
Then I guess how do you advise this group to go forward then? I mean, if we're coming up against, you know, an E10 blend wall, and you know, you can only blend so much E10 if there's only going to be so many vehicles that are going to be using it. How do you move to that next step then? Because that's what they want to do here.
Right. I think they should work with Shell. Shell has put out our hand, said that we wanted to work with other stakeholders to find solutions to this problem. Ultimately, the mandated levels of the renewable fuels need to be reduced such that they're consistent with the capabilities of infrastructure and the vehicles, but it also needs to provide the right incentives and the regulatory certainty for investments in the cellulosic biofuels. This whole debate around the blend wall and the EPA use of waivers on a year-by-year basis is just going to create tremendous uncertainty, and you know, we feel like that uncertainty particularly has an adverse impact on the cellulosic biofuels, which Shell is interested in. We need that regulatory certainty. We don't see it coming through the use of EPA waivers.
For lack of a better phrase, I guess you're part of what they call big oil here at this conference. And you talked about that, how you want to try to reach across and show that you want to work with the biofuels industry as well. So I guess, is that why it's been so important for Shell to come to these type of conferences and make contacts with the ethanol and the biodiesel industries?
It is. We have a little bit of a different view of this than some of the others in the oil industry, because we are also interested in, we have a joint venture to produce ethanol, and we have interest in cellulosic biofuels going forward. So we're really looking to find solutions to this. Now, where we do have a common view is the whole oil industry, I believe, is on recognizing and understanding the seriousness of the blend wall problem and the need to for it to be addressed. The difference really is, so if you understand the blend wall and that it's a big problem, so now what do you want to do about it? And there's at least three different points of view out there on it, right? You know, we hear today that folks say, well, EPA can just use its existing authority to do it. And then on the other side, you have some parties calling for a complete repeal of these laws. Shell is of the view that the RFS needs to be revised to fix this problem. We don't feel that the EPA's authority is really adequate to address this in a way that's going to provide the certainty that folks need to make the investments in the cellulosic.
John, great information, great perspective that you're bringing to this. Anything else I guess you'd want our audience to understand about Shell's involvement and, you know, why you're here at the Advanced Biofuels Leadership Conference?
You know, I think we've really covered it. I look forward to hearing Matthew Tipper speak over lunch. He's with a vice president with Shell for Alternative Energies, and, you know, he'll be providing more information on Shell's perspective.
John, thank you again.
Sure.